Before we dig into another piece of the armor of God this morning, I'm curious. As we've been talking about spiritual warfare, the battle that we are in, the scripture says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so we've been talking about the armor of God, but I have a question. Has anyone, would anyone this week say, I have been experiencing some spiritual warfare? I'm more curious. Is there anybody who'd say they experienced that? Okay, Doug, raise his hand. Anybody else would say, you may not know, but I think I've been experiencing some spiritual warfare. Okay. Would anyone like to share if they think it was? You don't have to. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I may want to, but I won't. Anybody want to share about maybe something they've experienced this week? Okay, Doug. Okay.
So Noah went to the doctor, that's cast out, decided, found out that he's going to have to wear walking cast for at least, for potentially 6 to 8 weeks in order to heal the process and have a chronic pain. So it's just been this long continuation of, quite honestly, you can't say anything other than some type of spiritual attack since the beginning of your life.
So sometimes the enemy can use even physical sickness as an attack or injury or whatever. Uh-huh. Oh, we never argue.
It was because we were late? I can't even remember what it was. And then
I remember. No.
But it seemed so silly. And then, you know, once we got to drop the kids off, it was like, oh my gosh, here we are studying about spiritual warfare at church. And we knew we didn't want us to go and do it, but we ended up calling a working date.
And we've had that. It's been too long. We're pretty regular on dates as a couple, but it's been bad recently with me working full time. But it's happened quite. It seems like it hits our dates. I don't remember some. You know, as a guy, I do stupid things. And I'll say something, and we've had that happen before. And it's just like, and then we go on our date. We're kind of quieter. It's like, what? We're going on a date and have a great time, and we get in this fight. It just we're a spiritual battle, distractions. Has anyone here ever experienced accusing thoughts in your mind for things that you're maybe doing now or you've done in the past, and it keeps being thrown into your mind? Has anyone? Okay, something happened. That is a spiritual battle. Or have you ever experienced anxious thoughts that suddenly come upon you and you can't get your mind to shut off? A spiritual battle. When I get anxious, and I go through seasons, I'm not overly anxious person generally. I don't sleep well. Does anyone go through that when you're really going through, you don't sleep well? And I know some of it comes with age. I probably only get about 4 or 5 hours of sleep tonight. But when I get anxious, I don't sleep. And this week for me, it's been a tough week. On Wednesday and Thursday night, I got a total of about 3 to 4 hours. That was including both nights. So I wake up, I'm tired, I'm anxious about things, I'm thinking about things. A spiritual battle. And when I get anxious, my emotions get off. Do you get that when you're sleeping and you don't sleep well and your emotions are like, woo-hoo-hoo? And normally my emotions are pretty steady. But they get off, and I'm not feeling well. And do I want to read God's word? No, because I'm not feeling like it. Do I want to pray? No, I don't really want to because I'm tired. Do you see how the spiritual battle could grow more intense as we go through these experiences? But it hit me. When we're in the battle, I want to have a challenge this morning. When we're in the battle, we have two choices. We could either turn to something to cope with the battle, or we can press into God. What's your coping mechanism? When you get anxious, when you feel overwhelmed, how do you cope with it? Some people, yeah, good example. Music. You listen a lot of music. My recent coping mechanism, I have to keep laying that before the Lord, is recent, my big coping mechanism recently when I get stressed, I don't want to think about something, I'm trying to push it away, is reading. Yes, oh great, oh good, you're reading. But I don't read good, like awesome books. They're like fantasy. There's something that takes me to another reality of dimension. Something I don't want to think. So I read these books, and I've been reading through books. Bam! I got the unlimited Kindle thing. I'm trying the free for the month. Man, I got my money's worth out of them. I cope. But it hit me that we could either cope with it and not deal with it in our own strength, if it's music or something, or we could press into God in a spiritual battle. Other people, they cope with it different ways. Some people, when they're stressed or they're in a spiritual battle, even as Christians, we cope with different, we cover it, we cope with our situation. But some people dealt with eating food. When they get stressed, they eat more. Some people get to alcohol to drown out what's going on. Some turn to drugs. That's their coping mechanism with the spiritual battle that's taking place around them. Some turn to sex or pornography to cope, to try to mask, to fill the struggle. Some spend money. I wish we had the money to spend, but some spend money when they cope. Some television, movies. But as Christians, what should we do when we face a spiritual battle? We are to press into God. It's so hard. It's not easy. This week, I failed at that. I'll be honest. I was so tired, I think I could be praying. Oh, I don't want to pray. I'm so tired. I just want to go to sleep. And more you think about going to sleep, you don't go to sleep. You know how that is. And you watch the time, okay, I have to get up at 5 or 6:30, and it just starts going by. But I remember another time that I did not fail. I remember one time, it was about the church, I woke up and I was anxious about the church. And I remember just starting praying to God, I started turning my mind to God and praying to God, and just laying, Lord, I give this to you. And I remember I did that for a while, and this peace took place of the anxiety. I wish I would do that all the time. What do you do when you're trying to cope with struggles, areas of hardship, confusion, things at work that are happening? We either press into God or we press into things that will never deal with a situation. We try to cover it up. But as we're going through this armor of God, the main thing that we need to do is we need to put on God's armor to fight the spiritual battle. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Ephesians 6, 16. And it says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you are to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The shield of faith. See, look right here, guys. The shield of faith. Out of all the armor of God, I would consider this one of the most important part of the armor of God. In the King James, it words it differently. It says, above all, take the shield of faith. This is a very vital part of a soldier's armor. It's really more for protection. When the fiery arrows of the enemy come against the soldier, the military, you think of the Romans and those the arrows flying, that they throw up their shields to protect their armor, to protect themselves from the fiery darts of the enemy. And you can even see from different movies like The Gladiator or other movies, you even see how they would block themselves and even at times use the shield as a weapon to hit and then block and hit and block. And then all these different things, they use the shield. It protects you. It can protect your whole body. Yes, we have the armor that can protect us, but we want to stop it before it gets to the rest of the armor, the shield of faith. We are to put on the shield of faith. First question, is faith important? Can we please God without faith? Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So then you must ask the other question, what's faith? What would you say? What's faith? Anybody? Do you believe it? Okay, anybody else? What's faith? You hear it's a spiritual word, oh, faith. Believing what you can't see, like Hebrews 11:1, right? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One definition I came with, just a simple definition of faith, was complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Christian faith is simply this. I'm going to really try to bring it down to be simple here. It's trusting in God. We trust in who God is. We trust what God says. Do you have faith? Do I have faith? Is there anyone here right now that has perfect faith? Only one person I know of. Jesus. When he came, he's perfect. We don't have. So you get there. Your faith grows. Do you have faith? Is your faith growing? We trust first in who God is. Now, here's a question. How do we know what God is like? The belt of truth. His word is truth. So if our faith is built on who God is, how do we know who God is? How do I know what Crystal is? I spend time with Crystal. Well, God, I can't see him, so I can't spend time with God in the exact same way because I can't touch it or just talk to. But through his word, we get to know who God is, the belt of truth. We want to know what is true about God. We go to his word. What does God's word say about God? I was thinking I'd really like to do sometimes a Sunday school class or a small group on like the names of God. Because when you go through the different names of God and you discover who God is, man, life doesn't seem so complex or difficult. But I just picked out a few things about God that we know about him. Just kind of show us what I mean about our faith is built on who God is. For example, here's one of them. Because this would be a whole study. This would be months of studies. You want to talk about the names or the attributes of God. God is holy. He doesn't make mistakes. He's perfect. Revelation 4 tells us that in heaven, there's these angels that cry out day and night. And this is what they cry out day and night in Revelation 4. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Day and night before God's presence right now, they're crying out, holy, holy. God is holy. So, God is holy. God is perfect. Is he worthy of our trust if he's perfect?
How many of you guys have friends that hurt you?
They didn't mean to, but they said something that really hurt you.
Oh, I have. Or have you had someone do something, maybe a family member do something to hurt you?
We've all experienced it, right?
God is perfect. He doesn't accidentally say something that's going to hurt us. Now, he may say something we don't like, and that's us. But he's perfect in all he says and he does. He is holy. God is perfect. Now here's a question. Is he worthy of our trust, our faith? He's perfect. Another question. Do you believe that? I ask you if you guys have faith in God. Oh, I have faith in God. Do you believe in prayer? Yeah, I believe in prayer. Do you believe in God's word? I believe in God's word.
Well, do you read? Do you pray?
Right. Faith. Does God, who's holy and perfect, worthy of our faith?
Another aspect of God just helped bring us to that idea that our faith is built on who God is. Our faith is not built on us, should not be built on us. We fail. Our emotions get off. We have bad days. Man, if my faith was on me, man, I fail all the time. Our faith should be built on someone else who is greater than I, and that is God. So first, God is holy and perfect. I don't have to worry about him making mistakes. But God is also known as being sovereign, which means he is in control. 1 Timothy 6:15 says, "He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." He isn't surprised when something happens. You and I may be surprised. But he knew it was going to happen, and he's in control. You can even look at God's sovereignty in this way. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you surrendered your life to him, everything that happens to you must go through the hands of a sovereign God. Now, you may say, oh, I don't like what he let through, and I'm not even going to pretend I understand why he lets it through, because he's God, and if I understood what he let through, then I'd be God myself. So I have to trust that he is holy and perfect, and he's good, right? So that a sovereign, I could trust that whatever comes to me has to go through him. He's in control, and we have to trust he's perfect and good. And we may not get it, and we could wrestle with it. I don't understand why my mom passed away at a younger age, in her 70s. My mom served God. We had people in our home who needed places. My dad and mom wanted to retire and travel. My mom spent her life raising 7 kids. She went early. My God, man, she really served you, God. She wasn't perfect, no, but she served you. God, couldn't you give my parents some time to be able to have the kids out of the house and really enjoy life? I understand it. Now, my mom probably thinks, great, God, thanks for taking me. But do we trust? He's perfect. He's holy. He's sovereign. He is in control. Is he worthy of our faith, of our trust?
Is your faith in God, or is your faith growing in God?
Here's another aspect of God, about God, who God is.
God is faith.
2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless. How many of you guys ever are like, some days you're like totally faithless? If we are faithless, he remains faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13. When life swallows us up and we feel lost, God is faithful. When we wander from him, he is faithful. When we lose our faith and doubt in him, he is faithful. We have and serve a faithful God who doesn't give up, who's pursuing us, who's for us, who's going for us and won't give up. So, listen to this. God is he perfectly knows all about us. He's in control and totally faithful. He's worthy of my faith, of my trust.
But the question is, do we believe that really?
And the last aspect of God this morning I want to talk about in this is God is love. This is the most incredible truth of Scripture, that a holy God, a perfect God, how can he love me? Definitely not because of me, because of him. God is love. 1 John 4:8 says this, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins, to be the substitute, the appeasement of God's wrath for our sins. God is love. Everything God does is love. Everything he allows into our lives must pass through his loving and sovereign hands. Do you believe that? His love is perfectly right. He knows everything. He knows what makes us tick. He knows what temptations we handle. And yet he loves us. Why don't we place our faith in him? The spiritual battle. So then we must ask ourselves this question. If we can't please God without faith, and if our faith is to grow, and how does our faith grow? We want our faith to grow because we want to please God. The first way for our faith to grow, the most important way for our faith to grow, is God reading God's word. Romans 10:17 says this, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we read God's word, we get to know who God is. When we discover more and more that God is perfect, that he's controlling, he's all-knowing, he's in control, he's faithful, he's loving, our faith in him will grow. We can trust what he says when he tells us in his word what not to do or to do. We can trust him because we know who he is. So the first thing is we read God's word so we know who God is. And we believe, yes, I believe in who God is, and my faith grows. Then we'll also believe in what God says, because if God is perfect, loving, holy, and all these things, and he tells me to do something, I should do it. We trust in who he is so we can trust what he tells us to do. When we get stressed about our finances, I know you guys never do that, but I know I do. God says that he'll faithfully provide for us. Do you believe that? Will you throw up your shield of faith when that comes into your mind? When you come in and the bill's coming up, oh God, what am I going to do? Are you going to worry about it and go to sleep? And oh, maybe I should sell something. What can I do? Or will you say, put up that shield of faith and says, no, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He says that, and I believe it because I know who God is. We know who God is and we believe what he says. Or when you have failed or sinned and the devil accuses you over and over again for your failure, will you confess your sins and throw up your shield of faith? Because God's word says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Or when you are discouraged with your life, you ever go through discouragement? I have. Things haven't happened like I wanted them to happen. And I get discouraged. I'm discouraged. God, do you have a plan for my life? I don't see it right now. And I get discouraged. Will you throw up your shield of faith, knowing that God says that he has a plan for your life and it's good? Will you believe? Will you and I believe? What God says is true.
Or when you feel overcome by temptation. I know you guys never experienced that. When you're doing something you know you shouldn't be doing and you're in that wrestling match. Will you throw up your shield of faith knowing that God's word says, that God says, I'll never give you a temptation that I can't give you a way to get out of it. I'm with you. I won't leave you. I'm faithful. But turn to me and I can help you overcome that temptation. Will you throw up that shield of faith and believe it? So we need to read God's word if we want to grow in faith. We need to pray. Prayer is, if you could just sum up prayer simply, prayer is acknowledging your dependence upon God. The less we pray, the more we're really kind of saying, I could do it myself. The more we pray, the more we're saying, I cannot do it without God. I need you. Believe in his word. Believe in prayer. But so those are some areas we can grow, but there's two areas that can hinder faith. And I want to talk about that briefly this morning. There are two hindrances to our faith. First, it is unbelief. I struggle with areas of unbelief in my life. I had about a week and a half ago, I was telling my wife, I'm still trying to see what God wants to tell me. But one day I woke up, or it was in the middle of the night, I had this dream, I never remember the dreams. Like I get this dream and I had this thought in my mind, but the thought that came in my mind was unbelief. So my wife was, I'm kind of still, God, what do you want to say about unbelief in my life? Unbelief can hinder us from God. You know what unbelief does? Is when we have unbelief, it leads into discouragement. God, do you have a plan? When we're struggling in our church, do we just give up or do we believe that God has a plan? Do we give in to discouragement or faith that God has a plan that we do not see? He does have a plan. Unbelief. If you struggle with unbelief today, confess it to God. You know, there's this beautiful story in Scripture in Mark 9. A father had a demon-possessed son. And this son, when the demon would come upon him, or however that worked, he'd begin to foam at the mouth, and he'd get rigid, and he'd fall down, and he'd start grinding his teeth. And this man heard about Jesus and his disciples, but Jesus was away, and he brought this father in desperation to help his son, brought him to Jesus. I mean, to Jesus' disciples. And they tried to cast out the demon. Didn't work. So then when they're trying, talking about, well, we can't cast out the demon. You can imagine the disciples like, hey, Jesus said we can cast out demons. What's going on? Jesus shows up. The right time, the perfect moment. Jesus shows up. He shows up. And the man tells Jesus in Mark 9, I brought my son to your disciples and they could not cast him out. And then they brought the boy, they brought the father's son to him. And that kid starts going through the demon starts acting up and all this. And Jesus says, what happened? How long has this been happening, all this? And then he said to the father something incredible. He says, with God, all things are possible. Imagine that father. He's desperate. Disciples couldn't help him. Can Jesus help him? A father whose grief for his son, every time he sees his son, he can't do anything. He can't help him. He wants to. He loves his son. You can imagine the broken heart of a father. The struggle, and Jesus says, after talking to him, all things are possible with God. Do you remember how that father responded to that statement? Do you remember what he said to Jesus in Mark 9:24? I see this honesty in his father as he says these words. I believe, help my unbelief. I don't know about you. You ever have that where you kind of have faith
and not faith. It's kind of this weird thing. I love the honesty of the father going to Jesus. He's struggling. He wants to believe. But I believe what you say, Jesus.
But do I really?
Help my unbelief. When we have unbelief, go to God and tell him, Lord, I kind of believe, but be honest with him. I don't know if I really do. Help my unbelief. So the first thing that hinders faith is unbelief.
How do we grow in faith? We read God's word. We pray.
The second thing that hinders faith is isolation. When a believer draws away from God's body, doesn't matter what reason, they isolate themselves and they become a target of the enemy. Faith is not meant only to be alone, but faith with other people of faith make us stronger. Now, there's a picture up here. Doug, if you can put up that picture, the second picture there. When the enemy comes, if you guys are attacked by an enemy and you're just one shield there, woohoo, that's going to do a lot of good. But here it gives a good picture of the enemy's attacking and you form this shield of protection to protect each other. And there's a video that I want Doug to get ready to show you. And it's a video from the Gladiator movie. And you may have seen it, you may not have seen it. But it illustrates this point, the importance of being strong or standing in faith together. Because what's interesting is when, I don't know about you, you ever go through moments where there just seems to be no faith? Be honest. Let's not pretend. I don't feel I have any faith. That is the time to start hanging out more with unbelievers, because someone who may be stronger in faith will help you. Like this. So we need, one of the tactics of the enemy is to separate people from the body of Christ. Oh, I don't like that church. Oh, I'm tired of it. I'm taking a break. Oh, that's perfect. It whispers from the devil himself. No. Nowhere in Scripture does it say isolate yourself from the body of Christ. So there's a video. Let's watch this video. There, you shut that off, Doug.
Wonder hindrances of faith.
We isolate ourselves from one another. You saw those people that were like, oh, I'm gonna go out there and fight.
Maybe there's no way of winning.
Sometimes we are low on faith. We struggle. We're down in the pits. That's when we need the body of Christ to help hide behind the other people's faith, in a sense, to help you through that time. Please confess unbelief before God. Please do not isolate yourself from the body of Christ. That's a tactic of the devil, a tactic of the enemy. If you have the worship team, come forward. That was good, huh? Sorry, it's kind of violent. Sorry for the. But. We're gonna have the offering, Johnny. If you want to get ready, we're gonna have the missions benevolence offering as we worship. But you know what? If you today are struggling in your faith, let's confess it to God.